trying to think about electricity for a moment. You know, electricity is really a powerful thing. If we were to go just 2 hours without electricity, we would all notice it, right? I mean, we start worrying about our refrigerator. We start worrying about, you know, how we're going to see. And I guarantee you, those of you like me or our phones, you're going to worry about how you're going to recharge them, right? We're going to worry because, you know, you can't live life without electricity. I was thinking as Bill was sharing with me about how when he had heart surgery a few years ago, I was thinking, oh, man, I'm so thankful every time I go in there. I say, Lord, don't let him lose power in the hospital because that would be a scary moment, you know? I don't know. That's just kind of me. But, you know, I'm saying electricity is really needed. You need it to cook. You need it to make your house warm or to make your house cool in the summertime. You need it when it's dark, and you need your lights on. There's another powerful force that you cannot see either, and that is wind. Wind has its own life of its own. Sometimes like wind's like a gentle breeze, and it's like really cool to kind of feel. And then other times, like you're at the beach, you can actually fly a kite at the beach because the wind is strong enough. And then there are times that wind is really strong. And it can, like, move a boat. Or it can, like, move a house. Or it can, like, take a roof off. Or it can move cars and pile them all up. I mean, wind is a powerful force. And that's what Jesus described the Holy Spirit as a wind. In John 3:8, this is what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He says, the wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. The power of electricity and wind is very real. And they're both available to us. And we get to choose whether we're going to use that power or whether we're not going to use the power that's available to us. But if you misuse them, they can humble you really quick. The power of electricity and wind is nothing, though, in comparison to the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us. Because when he comes in to live within us, he transforms our lives. And to me, that's the greatest power you can see. When you have witnessed somebody who was really like an ugly, mean person, and then encounters God, and the Spirit of God comes in them, and then they experience the power of the Spirit, man, their life radically changes. It's like a different person. And only God can do that through the power of the Spirit. May God give us faith to understand this power that lives within us. We should therefore not live normal lives, but live supernatural lives. We should expect to see the supernatural power of God working through us. Remember what Jesus told his disciples in Acts 1:8? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and into the ends of the earth. The clear thought of what Jesus is saying here is that without the Holy Spirit, the church has no power. The church is powerless. But with the Holy Spirit, there's a clear difference. There's a power that exists that's not natural. It's not of our own. There's a supernatural power there. You cannot talk about supernatural power without talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. I want to give you a truth from Scripture today. And I just keep saying this over and over again throughout my message, but you have a powerful presence living in you. You have the presence of the Holy Spirit living in you. Notice what Jesus said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, just a few verses before verse 8, which we read a moment ago. But in verses 4 and 5, we read, Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Jesus is strongly warning his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem until you experience the promise of this gift of the Holy Spirit that I'm going to send you. So you turn to Acts chapter 2, you look at verses 1 through 4, and you read about what occurred. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring, mighty windstorm. It filled the house they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. Jesus ascended. He went back to the Father. And they, the disciples, who were his followers, 120 of them, gathered in one room. The room was located on the temple wall, the wall that went around the temple. There were rooms on that wall. There's houses like on that wall. And in one of those places, they were there gathered and meeting. It began with a group of 500. So it was a large room. But it dwindled down to 120 people that were committed to pray and seek God and wait until God moved. And it happened on Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is 50 days after Passover. So this year it's on Sunday, May the 28th. But Pentecost was the day that they celebrated as they remembered God's deliverance out of Egypt, and they celebrated God giving the law, the Ten Commandments. But this year, this Pentecost would be totally different. Because this Pentecost, God would birth his church. 120 disciples gathered in a large room, praying and waiting. And then all of a sudden, I pictured it being a clear day where the sun is out, the sky is blue. There comes this world of wind coming from heaven. And it just builds and builds and builds. And the sound gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So much so that the Bible tells us in verse 5 that it says, at that time there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem, and when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. On this sunny day, all of a sudden, out of the sky comes this wind. And it got stronger and stronger. And little kids who were in the streets of Jerusalem or in the city were beginning to cover their ears because it was so loud. People who are sensitive with their ears were beginning to cover their ears and go, what is that? Where is it coming from? And they began to look up and they saw this stream of wind coming towards the temple. They went running towards the temple to see what was going to happen. Would it be a tornado that would just totally destroy the temple? What would happen? And they went to look to see, and they could hear this wind, and they could see. And when that wind hit that room, all I can imagine is the door went, ba-boom, wide open. Because I'm sure they were locked inside. And that door went flying wide open. I think there was a window, and there were some curtains up. Those curtains were just torn off the wall. And there was also a wind that was in that room that signified that the Holy Spirit had come. Not only was there a wind, but there was fire there. There was cloven fires that literally rested on their heads. Now, I'm not a fireman. I'm not a son of a fireman. I have watched a little Chicago Fire. And I do have a fire station down our street. And we take them brownies every now and then. So, you know, I kind of know a little bit, I guess. But this is what I know. I think everybody knows this. Wind and fire are not a good combination. You know? You don't mix wind and fire. Like in California, it's bad when they have their strong winds and the fires. Why? Because you can't control them and they're uncontainable. When wind and fire come together, you can have fire without wind and be okay. Because you can contain a fire without wind. But when you put them together, is an uncontainable force. What do you think the message was that God was telling the church? That with the power of the Holy Spirit, there is an uncontainable force that will live within the church, within you and I. There's a power within us that is uncontainable, that cannot be controlled. That the principle again is you have a powerful force who lives within you. You ever had a dead battery? Sure. I've had a dead car battery before. And all I know is you can try cranking it. It's not going to crank. When it's dead, it won't start. You're just left sitting in the parking lot. You're helpless until somebody comes or you pull out some jumper cables and find another car to jump that battery off. Now, I don't know if you know this, but you can pull out your glove compartment, and in your glove compartment is your owner's manual maybe to the car. You can pull it out, and you can read about how to jump that battery off. But it's not going to help you unless you got cables. You can read. You can know how to do it. You can say, oh, yeah, I got this. It tells me how to do it. But I can't do it because I don't have the jumper cables necessary because a car is not hooked up. Here's the thing. God's word is extremely important. It's like the owner's manual. You read it and you say, this is how I ought to live the Christian life. Because you read that owner's manual and go, this is how it's supposed to go. But you can't do it unless you're hooked up properly to the Holy Spirit who gives you the power to live a victorious life. That we need the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Have you ever felt like you're spiritually stuck? Like you're just stagnant in your Christian walk? Like you're not seeing any improvement or any growth? Let me throw you another illustration. How many of you have seen a boat, a paddle boat, or a rowboat pulling a skier behind it? Anybody? No, me either. Never seen it. You could actually get 8 adults in a boat, have them paddling, and you still couldn't pull the skier. Right? Because there's not enough power generating in that boat to pull that skier. The same thing is true with us. Our power source needs to be connected to something stronger than us in order to live the Christian life. We need the Holy Spirit's presence in us. Remember what Jesus again said in Acts 1:8. We read it a moment ago on the screen. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The word power is dunamis, which is where we get in our English language the word dynamite from. It's not just a little trinkle of power coming off of a spigot. Like doop, doop, doop. No, it is full force like Niagara Falls. It's a huge power. It's an explosive power inside of us. In Acts 2, verse 5 through 12. At that time, there were devoted Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. But when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, And they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee. All from Galilee. And yet we hear them speaking in our own native language. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and the province of Asia. I know it doesn't look like this, but Phrygia, which is in Turkey today, Pamphylia, which was in Minor Asia, Egypt, and areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, people from all over, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arabs. And we all hear things, people speaking in our own languages about wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. You see what the Holy Spirit did? The Holy Spirit gave 120 followers of Christ, Galileans, the ability to speak in a language that was not their own. They spoke in the language of those that were from around the world in their language so they could communicate the gospel message to them. As a believer, you know when the Holy Spirit is working in and through you, because He'll give you a strength and a power to do what you cannot do on your own. That was a supernatural working of the Holy Spirit through them. Sometimes He'll give you power to speak in a language that is not your own. Sometimes He'll give you the power to give forth a word that is for the body, or maybe for you, that was not from you, but it was a supernatural word. Sometimes He will work through you and give you direction when you are going, I don't know the way I need to go. And God intervenes, and through a series of things inside of you, you know this is the way I need to go. Sometimes He'll give you a peace, man, when things are just out of kilter. And when you shouldn't have that peace, and yet you are walking with that peace. Sometimes He'll give you a boldness to share your faith. And you go, where did that come from? It came from God's Spirit who lives within you. So the question then becomes, why are we not seeing more of the Spirit operating in our lives? Right, Jim? Why? What was the key? They were waiting in the upper room. And they were praying. And they were seeking. Sometimes we forget that we need God's power. And every now and then, a pastor like myself will preach on the Holy Spirit or the power of the Holy Spirit, and also we'll be reminded, and then we'll go, oh yeah, we need Him. The truth is, we have to live like we need Him every day. That means there are times that we need to gather early and pray before the service. You know, I just remember people doing that years ago. They would gather, they got to church, they'd come at the front, they'd kneel at the altar, and they just pray before church. Wouldn't be a lot of people, but there would be a group that would be praying. There would be others that, during worship, they would just come, find a place, and they'll be praying, asking God at the altar, God, I need You to move in my life. I want You to move in our church. And then I know there are some that come, they aren't morning people, you know? And they wait to after church, and then you'll see them at the altars. Whether the pastor gave them an altar call or not, they end up at the altar, and they're praying, saying, God, we need more of You. Or they're gathering in their homes, and they're praying, saying, God, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. I found out I thought that this was my statement, but I realized that Case told me no, this was his, and I learned this from him. So this is what I've learned from Case, and I'm going to pass it on to you because I said it Wednesday night, and I think we all need to hear this again. But here it is. It's, we can have as much as God as we want. Right? We're going to have as much of the Holy Spirit operate in this place as we desire. If we just want this just to be a time where you just come and hear the word and go home, that's cool. But if we want to be a supernatural church that moves in the power of the Holy Spirit, it requires waiting on Him. It's nobody's fault. It just means that if that's what we want, that's what we have to do. Because God honors that. And God moves when we wait on Him. Look around our world today. Don't tell you this, but we're all in need of power. I don't think the darkness has ever been darker. We need the light of God shining through us. We, the church, are the ones who are chosen by God to carry this light in this dark world. Our culture is in deep decline. As you know, our world is in chaos. And the crazy thing is, the enemies of God are getting bolder than ever before. It's not time for the church to run and hide behind our four walls. If we do, we're going to lose the battle. We have to let our light shine in the darkness. In the world that we live in, we've got to let our light shine. We've got to understand we're all part of the priesthood of believers, as 1 Peter tells us. That somehow the leadership of the church has taken that captive, and the only people who are thought of as priests are those who are on the platform, and that's not true. You are a priest. You are a child of God, just like I'm a child of God. I've just been given the gift to talk in front of you. But we all are lights in the dark world that we live in. And we need to let our light shine. See, the candles are brighter this week. A couple weeks ago, I forgot to turn them off after church. So they sat here till Wednesday. When I came through, they're like, oh, no! And it was just a little flicker of light. Last Sunday, there was just a little flicker of light. And I went, I forgot to change the batteries again. So, I don't know. I just light these candles. I know some of you would probably rather have a nice set of flowers up here. But, you know, somebody dropped this thing off at the church. I don't know who did. Left it by our glass doors. And so I kidnapped it and put it up here. And I light these candles, because you know why? They remind us that we need to be light in a dark world. Sometimes the battery, it wear down. These will be good for about a year. They say they last 10, but they lie on the package. But in about a year, I'll have to change them. And when I do, it's just like me. I have to have my battery recharged, or my light will go down. That's why we gather on Sunday, to be recharged. To gather to experience the presence of God, gather to worship Him, to allow the Spirit to have His way within us so we can experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit within us. And again, we can have much of God as we want. And you have a powerful presence living within you. I want to just show you, I just want to close by demonstrating something to you as an illustration. Because I know that we all go through things. But I brought in two Coke cans. They're exactly alike. They weigh the same in aluminum. They came from the same Coke company that produced it. They came together in the same truck. They were in the same package. They were sold from the same store, bought there. I brought them, took them out of the same box. They are exactly alike. There's no difference between these two vessels. Well, except one. This one is full of Coke, and it's sealed. This one's empty, and it's unsealed. When the pressures of this world come against the Coke that is unsealed and unfilled, when the stresses of life come, stresses in marriage, stresses in families and homes, stresses in finances, stresses in whatever we're facing, sickness or health. Just like this can that's is open and unfilled. When the stresses come and the pressure comes, it's crushed. That's how we are without the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. If we're not sealed and filled with the Holy Spirit, when the pressures of life come, we crush under its weight. This one's filled and sealed. When the pressures of life come, and you stand on it.
Yes.
I told my sister-in-law, when her and I were doing the yard sale together, I told her, I said, when I do this, Debbie's going to say something. Because she's going to be worried. You can stand and put your full weight on it, and it won't crush. Why? Because it's filled and sealed. Right? Bet you won't forget this for a while. God wants you filled and sealed with Him. Can I tell you this morning, we need more of God. We need more of God.